There's really so much to say about it. But remember, Jesus promised that he would come to them. And it said that they gathered in that same upper room. This is after Jesus ascended. It's an interesting dynamic. So Jesus, on Easter, Jesus is raised from the dead. He appears among them for a while, but they're pretty confused by the kinds of appearances they were. And he gives some extra teachings. And then, so he's with them for 40 days after that. And then he walks out to Galilee and up a hill, and he ascends into heaven. And there's two angels there, and all the people are looking up like this, and they say, "Why are you staring up into heaven? Don't you know that he'll come again as you've seen him go?" Or the same scene at resurrection, right? When the disciples go there, Mary Magdalene and John and Peter, there's two angels sitting there saying, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Right? Same. "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking after him into heaven? You've got work to do on earth. You've got work." And he promised he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And they gather together in that same room that the Last Supper was in. So it's for 10 days between. The ascension was on the 40th day. Pentecost is on the 50th day. On the 50th day. Can you imagine what those 10 days were like in that room? The disciples waiting for 10 days. What were they thinking about? It said that they were praying. What did they expect? So they're waiting in that room, and then the description here, they hear this wind coming and then tongues of flame, and they were filled with the Spirit, and they went from hiding behind closed doors to going out and preaching the word to all the different peoples who were coming. For Pentecost is actually a Jewish festival day of the first fruits, the first gathering, and also it celebrates the giving of the Torah, the five books of Moses from Sinai that he got. So it was a big celebration, and people from all over the Mediterranean came. And they went out and started telling the story of Jesus to them. They were filled. They went from cowering and scared to filled and going out and prophesying. And Joel's prophecy is that it's open to everybody. It's old folks and young folks, your sons and your daughters, and people who were slaves, people who were considered as nothing, would become prophets too. And prophets are those who speak the truth to what they see, that bring God's word to bear on what they see. A prophet isn't somebody who tells slaves to be free. A prophet is somebody who tells us, who think we're free, that we're slaves. Says you're actually living in a very small way. You're a slave to success, to acquisition, to the society you live in, to have a good reputation. All of those things that the outside world makes seem so important to us. And saying we have to be set free from that. And the Spirit will help us do that. And Jesus said, "It's good for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit will not come." The Greek word is paraclete. It can mean spirit or counselor or teacher or somebody who accompanies you. But it's the Christ Spirit. The paraclete will come and be with you. But if I don't go, why? Because you keep thinking it's all about me. Just as Christianity fell into the problem of just worshiping Jesus and not lifting up the Christ in everyone. Do you understand that? It's in you. It's in you as a seed, as more than a seed. And we need to grow more Christ-like if we're going to make it through these times at all with any sort of wholeness and integrity. And so, Jesus is saying, it's good for you that I'm going away because you won't cling to me anymore, like he said to Mary Magdalene. You won't just think I'm the one that's doing all this stuff, because you have a part in it. You have a part in this too. And we need you to be all you who are created to be and all you feel called to do. And that's for each and every one of us to figure out what that calling is and how we best express the gifts we have in our life to help other people. I heard the story of a preacher preaching who kept saying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me with your spirit," like at Pentecost. "Fill me with your spirit." And a voice was heard off to the side, like in the cartoon sometimes, there's that little bubble speak. And it says, "I am." God says, "I am, but you're leaking." I think we're being filled. The Spirit wants to fill our hearts and fill our souls and boost our spirits all the time. But we leak it out through worry. Am I doing it? You know the ways that you worry better than I know mine. I don't know everybody else's. They probably aren't so different. When we worry, we leak, or we begin to doubt, or there's ways we need to plug up those leaks. And one of the ways we do that is by being together. The disciples, it said they gathered as one in that upper room and waited as one. They recognized their common brother and sisterhood, because Mary was there as well as several of the women, and the disciples were there. And they recognized their oneness of brotherhood and sisterhood, their oneness of being followers of Jesus, their oneness in their vision of who they want to be and where they want to go. And that kind of oneness, it's a very powerful thing. You know, I truly believe that Christianity is not meant to be a do-it-yourself kind of thing. You can't do it just by yourself. It's important to do study on your own, but if you only do study on your own and you don't practice it or share it with others, it doesn't grow as strong or doesn't root as deep to allow it to fill a lot of your life. Is that making sense at all? I think that's a really important thing. It's important to take time to yourself, do your own study, do your own meditating and praying, but it's really important too to have the assembly be able to support you. The story of someone who came to a minister or a priest and said he didn't feel like going to church anymore. He didn't get that much out of it. And besides, I can do it all on my own. I can feel God playing golf and all that stuff. And so the minister, the priest, or the rabbi, whatever, the story's in several traditions. He said, "Come closer." And they were sitting by a fire. And he took the poker and he reached into the fire and he took one of the coals. And he didn't say any words. He just took a coal out of the blazing fire and he pulled it about 3 or 4 feet out of the fire and just left it there. And sure enough, like, it was glowing, still glowing, still. And then they started talking and it was glowing a little less, and it finally went out. And the young person just really got it. It was better than words. He realized that if you don't stay near the heat, near the fire, you're not going to stay warm. You're not going to stay warm. You can't keep it going just by yourself. We try. We can try, but there's something in fellowship. We're meant to be in the company of others and be companions. With bread, that means companions. We share bread, things that fill and nourish one another. Insights, being together in times like this. I think all of us, God's placed the pilot light in every one of us. And it's just there, like always going. But until it gets turned up, it doesn't really go into flame. And I think Pentecost was a time where it really got turned up, and they went out and turned the world upside down with what they said. It grew so fast in the next 150 years. And you know it wasn't just because of what they said. It was who they are. We radiate who we are. I can't say that any more strongly. And there was tell a quick story from, this is from New Thought, which was, does anybody know what New Thought is? It was the late 1800s, before we came to the 1900s. A lot of new religious movements came up, including Christian Science. A lot of New Thought thinkers were talking about the importance of what you think and what you do. And this person, Ralph Waldo, not Emerson, Ralph Waldo Trine, said, "True beauty must be grown from within. That outward veneering, which is so prevalent, can never be even a poor imitation of this type of true, the genuine. To appreciate fully the truth of this, it's but necessary to look for a moment at," there was a picture he references, I don't know it, by Sant, S-A-N-T, "The Soul's Awakening." He said, "A face that grows more beautiful each time one looks at it, and that one never tires of looking at it, and compare it with the fractional parts of apothecary shops we see now and then." And anyway, he said, "A face of this higher type carries with it a benediction wherever it goes." Isn't that beautiful? I know faces like that, that carry a benediction with it, with them, wherever they go. And some of them are here, if not many, here. You carry a benediction with you when you let that inner beauty be expressed and you grow it. And so he gives an example, and with this I'll close. He said, "A beautiful little incident came to my notice. It was a very hot and dusty day. The passengers in the train were weary and tired. The time seemed long and the journey cheerless. A lady with a face that carries a benediction to all who see her entered the car with a little girl, also of that type of beauty that comes from within, and with a musical voice, sweet and sparkling, such as also comes from this source. The child, when they were seated, had no longer spoken a few words before she began to enlist the attention of her fellow passengers. She began playing peekaboo with a staid and dignified old gentleman in the seat behind her. He, at first, looked at her over his spectacles, then lowered his newspaper a little, then a little more, and a little more. Finally, he dropped it altogether, and apparently forgetting himself and his surroundings, became oblivious to everything and the fascinating pleasure he was having with the little girl. The other passengers soon found themselves following this example. All papers and books were dropped. The younger folks gave way to joyous laughter. All seemed to vie with each other in the honor of receiving a word or smile from that little girl. The dust, the heat, the tired, the cheerless feelings were all forgotten. And when these two things, left the car, the little girl was waving them goodbye instinctively. As one person, all the passengers waved to her in return." It gets passed on. I see it in airports. Have you seen it? Like, someone carries an infant or a child, and you just can't help but watch it. And that kind of beauty. Well, that beauty's in all of us, and it's our job to rise and shine, like it says in Isaiah 60, as it says in that song, "This little light of mine," to rise and shine with beauty and integrity, with the promise of Christ's Spirit within you on this Pentecost, from this day and always. Amen.